Kingborough. It is my pleasure to welcome you all to tonight's council meeting on Monday, the 2nd of December 2024. It is 5:30 p.m. and I now officially declare this meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. Council meetings are live streamed on YouTube, and in accordance with council's policy, I will ask the CEO to confirm that the audio recording has started. Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, the Muwinina people, and pay respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Attendees this evening, we have myself, Acting Mayor Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. From our staff this evening, we have our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Dave Stewart, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr. Daniel Smee, Director of the Environment, Development and Community Services, Ms. Delise Shakuti, Manager of the Works Department, Mr. Jade Jones, Manager Environmental Services, Ms. Liz Quinn, Coordinator Environmental Health, Ms. Tara Eschler, Media and Communications Advisor, Ms. Sam Adams, and our Acting Executive Assistant, Mrs. Karina Cowley. Apologies this evening are from our Mayor, Councillor Reet. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please, for the confirmation of minutes. Move Councillor Fox. Seconder, please. Seconded Councillor Cordova that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting Number 21 held on 18th of November 2024 be confirmed as a true record. All those in favour and against, motion is carried. Workshops held since last Council Meeting. On the 25th of November we had a workshop regarding community resilience and bushfire engagement. Declarations of interest. Does any Councillor have an interest they would like to declare? Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from open into closed session or closed into open session? Nope. Questions without notice from the public. There is no one in the public gallery this evening. Questions on notice from the public. Just a reminder that if you wish to submit a question on notice, you can do so by completing the relevant form on Council's website or by emailing kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. We had four questions. The first one was regarding Kingston Beach foreshore from Mr. Roger Tong and an officer's response from David Reeve. The second question was regarding the Kingborough planning scheme from Mr. Carl von Savageri and an officer's response from Adrian Stander. The third question, Bruny Island specific area plan from Ms. Jo Landon and an officer's response from Adrian Stander. The fourth question was regarding Kingborough planning scheme from Ms. Natisha Knight and an officer's response from Adrian Stander. Questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? Councillor Antoli and then Councillor Cordova and then Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I just wanted to foreshadow that I did have some questions without notice for closed session that I have foreshadowed Council, so that was the only thing, and I have no other questions for now.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. My questions are about a street tree strategy. Hobart City Council last week was giving away free native trees to help grow Hobart's urban tree canopy cover. Their target is 40% by 2046, and so for 2 days in Elizabeth Street Mall they were giving out free trees, all natives, dogwood, manuka, woolly tea tree, lemon bottle brush, blackwood, white peppermint and black she-oak. Since Hobart City Council implemented their 2017 City of Hobart Street Tree Strategy, the council in Hobart now boasts that 89% of their actions in the strategy have now been completed. My first question is, has our council considered implementing an urban canopy coverage target, particularly for new subdivisions?
Is this for you, Ms. Quinn?
Sorry. Through you, Acting Mayor. Sorry. So the question was, have we considered setting a target for subdivision?
Yeah, for urban canopy coverage in general. And my particular interest is around new subdivisions, yeah.
Yes, okay, thank you. Yes, we have considered it, and we've also considered developing a street tree strategy, which is where those targets would sit within. And due to resourcing constraints, we haven't progressed the strategy. What we have completed, though, is detailed canopy mapping for the urban, all the urban areas of Kingborough, including all the major settlements. So we've got the data, which would help us to start to think about what that target might be. But we haven't been able to resource the development of the strategy.
Further questions?
Thank you. Yes, please. Through you, Acting Mayor. So we've heard a little bit about the status update of the Kingborough Council's potential urban street tree plan. What kind of a timeframe, if resources aren't available now, and I was aware that there was kind of $75,000 put aside for that initial stage, when might resources become available? And I assume it's not just financial resources, it's human resources as well. Mm. What kind of a time frame are we looking at?
Ms. Shakuti. Through you, Acting Mayor. So you're right, the resources weren't so much about having the budget, it was the people to do that due to some vacant roles that we experienced for some time and that we've only just been able to recruit for and fill. So once we catch ourselves up with that work, we will re-look at the tree strategy. That will have to be looked at in all the other priorities that we have as well, and looking at, I suppose, the risk of addressing it or not addressing it. But I'd like to think we can have an earnest sort of look at the timeframes in 2025 as we'll be in a calmer space next year.
Councillor Cordova.
Great, thank you. And through you, Acting Mayor, in terms of what Hobart City Council is doing, do we support the way that they're going about implementing their actions? Do we support their actions, and are there any particular lessons that we can bring across to Kingborough?
Ms. Quinn.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Absolutely. So Council's part of an urban tree managers group, so we meet quarterly with all of the other urban tree managers across Greater Hobart and beyond, and the City of Hobart actually instigated that and lead that group, which is fantastic because they are certainly leading the way in managing urban canopy cover, and so they very freely share their templates and ideas and activities, and you know, I would say Kingborough is quite a long way behind where the City of Hobart is for the reasons I'm sure most of you would understand. That's not to say that we don't have some lots of magnificent street trees and we actively manage those street trees. It's that we haven't set targets and aren't, you know, driving an increase in that canopy cover at the moment.
Further questions, Councillor Cordova?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. A couple of questions. The first one relates to the Sherbert Oval. Just wondering if we could please get an update in regards to the cricket nets, club room and any community consultation or where the budget kind of sits with that one as well, please.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Mayor, the nets, the cricket club expressed a desire to have the nets relocated to the southern end of the oval, so staff have been assessing the feasibility of that, and that does look to be practical, which then links into the second part of your question in that if the nets were relocated, it does open up the potential use of the space where the nets are. In looking at the existing Sherbert Oval change rooms, the advice we received with respect to the cost of upgrading them was that it would be a better option to look at constructing new change rooms rather than trying to retrofit and redevelop the existing. So with that in mind, we have explored the option of constructing new change rooms on the other side of the oval, and retaining the existing change rooms as storage. but at this point in time, we've had some consultation with the user groups, but no broader consultation than that.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. Just wondering if we will be doing any broader consultation or sort of further budget implications in regards to that.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Midgley, you are correct. It does have some budget implications in that construction of new change rooms as opposed to upgrading existing creates a new asset, and it's not replacing that asset because we would be retaining the asset. So they are considerations that we will need to look at. In terms of broader consultation, I guess if the project does look to be feasible and has the support of the user groups, there would be a development application required in which there would be the statutory advertising process.
Councillor Midgley, further questions?
No further questions on that one, thank you. Another question though. Just looking at the forward agenda and the different policies and et cetera that are up for review, and I, what caught my eye was the Kingborough Youth Policy is up for review, but I also note that the Kingborough Youth Strategy as well has a time frame of 2024, and so I'm just wondering at all if they're two separate documents or are we going to be reviewing the Kingborough Youth Strategy as well early next year, and any thoughts on that, please?
Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Yes, we will be reviewing the policy and the strategy. The strategy will be a lot more involved, obviously, than the policy, and it is part of the community services team's work plans for 2025. We are looking at, I suppose, a high-level review of an overarching community services, I suppose, programs or strategy where these, for lack of a better term, sub-strategies might fit into so that we can ensure that they're complementary, they're addressing community needs in priority, and that, you know, they form part of Council's overall approach for community services in a holistic way. So, yes, that work is planned to happen.
Any further questions? Questions on notice from councillors. At the time the agenda...
Sorry, Acting Mayor. I thought you were asking Councillor Midgley if you should have any more questions. I did
Councillor
have a couple.
Dean, sorry, you just got in.
First question is just in relation to the draft local provision schedule, which is currently being exhibited. Members of the public have until next Monday to put in a representation. So given that we're near the end, I'm just hoping we could get an update on where we are at, given this is our last meeting before it closes.
Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So the last update that I had from planning staff regarding representations is that we had 35. I assume since that time there's probably a few more, and we'll probably expect quite a few coming in quickly before the 9th, so it's only 1 week away. So the amount of people who have been coming to see us has increased, and there's been a steady flow of face-to-face appointments, online inquiries, as well as phone inquiries through to customer service. Some, I suppose, themes that we are seeing are the LCZ zone. We're seeing a lot of concerns that relate to matters that are outside of the planning scheme. So, for example, public transport, general frustrations with council, etc. That tends to, at times, dominate some of the conversations. And the other one is that there's people who are coming to see us haven't done or haven't had time to do, sort of pre-reading, etc., and are coming with some sort of preconceived views. And, the time is spent, I suppose, helping them understand the process, how it actually applies, what it actually means for their property, etc., which is in turn, I suppose, having some positive outcomes because, they've been able to be given the facts and then understand the actual implications for their property.
Councillor Dean, any further questions?
Yeah, thank you. Just a question relating to the news about the High Performance Centre. There's been a bit of chatter around a couple of aspects of it that I'd maybe hopefully just be able to provide either CEO yourself to clarify around. Two questions around infrastructure upgrades as part of the centre that I've been asked about are the sealing of Gormley Road and the Spring Farm Connector. So I'm just wondering if we could have an update on where that sits as part of the bid.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Mayor, the sealing of Gormley Road forms part of the package that will be delivered by the state government, funded by the state government, and part of our bid was a commitment from the state government that the Spring Farm Connector Road would be funded within 3 years. So in accepting our bid, that has also been accepted as part of the package but may not necessarily be delivered through the funding strategy for the High Performance Centre but will be coming from state government in one way or the other.
Councillor Dean.
That's fantastic. And just in terms of the relocation of the dog park and the mountain bike area, there have been some concerns that they won't be accommodated. So could you just update the community on those two issues?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Acting Mayor, the dog exercise area will be impacted upon by the construction of a new oval, as will the pump track, as will the first part of the mountain bike park. We have given a commitment to the Kingborough Dog Walking Association that we will find an alternate comparable location for dog exercise. We're currently assessing some options in the area, and once we have done our due diligence on those options, we will get back to KDWA and work through those to determine the most suitable. In relation to the mountain bike park, we will indeed be reconstructing the first half of that, so it continues to be provided within the precinct. Similarly with the pump track, that will regrettably have to be reconstructed, but it will be reconstructed as a like-for-like and retained within the precinct.
Thank you very much. That's great to hear. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any further questions before I move on? So we're on page 6. Questions on notice from councillors. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions from councillors. Still on page 6, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last period. A petition headed Request for Extension of the 60-Day Exhibition Period of the Draft Kingborough Local Provision Schedule was received and a report is included in this agenda, which we'll be discussing in the next item. So we're now on page 7, Officers' Reports to Council. Petition Request for Extension of the 60-Day Exhibition Period of the Draft Kingborough Local Provisions Schedule. There is a recommendation on page 8 and I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Antoli, seconded Councillor Fox. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Council has received a passionate petition from members of the Kingborough community, mainly down the Channel and the Bruni area, and that is to ask the TPC to extend the 60-day statutory exhibition period. While council officers have stated that they are open to the idea, we've sought advice and have been told by the TPC that that's not possible. And so, therefore, our hands are tied. And I'm not too sure what to add or take away from it based on this, but some people will be disappointed, and the TPC has already written to the petition proponents as well.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Further contributions, Councillor Dean and then Councillor Cordova.
Yeah, look, Councillor Antoli's done a good job of summing it up succinctly. I suppose, would it be possible just to get a bit of a explanation for those that maybe weren't privy to that correspondence as to why exactly it can't be extended and why the 60-day limit must be so strictly adhered to.
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So the exhibition period and the period timeframe for that is contained under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act, or LUPA. And under that section, so section 35C, there is no ability under the legislation to grant extension for that period. So there is actually no legislative mechanism that would allow the TPC or council to extend the exhibition period.
Councillor Dean, have you finished?
Yep, thank you. And I just want to point out one other aspect, and maybe officers can flesh that out. It is 9.2 of the conclusion, where it highlights that the planning authority may, at its discretion, accept late present representations before it completes its report. So what is the view of council? Obviously, I'm guessing from our perspective we'd love them to be in by next Monday, but in the interest of some people maybe being a few days late leading into Christmas, what is our position exactly on those late submissions?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Our position is that we strongly encourage community members to have their representations in within the 60-day time period for the exhibition period. We will consider late submissions, noting that we have limited time to draft the report to go to the TPC and potentially limited capacity. So we will endeavour to do it within resourcing and capacity. So that is why we strongly encourage the submissions to be made during the exhibition period so that we can give it our full consideration when drafting that report to TPC.
Councillor Dean.
So just on that, it might help, I suppose, providing a bit more of an explanation as to what is the process. Presentations or exhibition period closes on the 9th, and then staff need to put together a report as is written in, but what is the timeframes, I suppose? Why is it so tight that staff just can't wait till accept January or February submissions?
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So again, that's defined under LUPA, the time period that we as council have to collate those submissions and put them to TPC, or to council first, and then to the TPC. So that's 60 days. So depending on the amount and complexity of representations, staff will be constrained in their, I suppose, timeframes to assess all of those, collate them, put them in the report, or form recommendations, draft that, and have it before council before then going to the TPC. That time period may be extended by TPC upon request, who have indicated that that would not be considered until the end of exhibition. So we have to assume at the moment that that extension is not in place.
Councillor Dean.
Thank you for clarifying those questions. I guess just for a very short contribution, there were 318 signatures, so it was quite a significant petition. We have people from clearly all around Australia, even some from overseas, that have some vested interest, I suppose, in the Kingborough community, via whatever properties that they own. So it did have significant groundswell, and there's a lot of people out there that are quite passionate, as Councillor Antolis pointed out, about this. And on top of that, I suppose I've had some concerns that people are fully aware of what is a very complex process. So I understand fully where they're coming from, but having heard those responses, it sounds like, well, I'm somewhat hopeful that there will be a little bit of leeway, but obviously leading into Christmas, we're also under significant time pressures to get our report back. So I understand where they're coming from, and I have sympathy with the situation, but I am quite clear in the response in the report that we have a 60-day exhibition period and it must be adhered to. So thank you, Acting Mayor.
Thank you. Next, I had Councillor Cordover and then Councillor Antolli with a question.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'll be fairly brief to echo my sympathies for the representors who clearly want more time and are not being given it, and really it's falling on relatively deaf ears from the TPC, but I'm glad that Council is engaging cooperatively and respectfully with those people who are making their voices known. It is an enormous number of people who are crying out for somebody to listen to them, and so whilst we're listening, I just think it's important also to reflect on there's a kind of information disparity that exists. And throughout my years on council, I've had a lot of people lament to me about the fact that whenever you're dealing with planning matters, it's hard as a layperson to penetrate all of these really complicated terminology and the thousands of pages of legislation and to understand how each of the frameworks fits into the other frameworks. It's really difficult and it's very anxiety provoking and it's very scary, and a lot of people don't have time when you're trying to run a family and have a job and trying to get kids to school and go to work. It's really hard to actually set aside the time to engage in what seems like a really impenetrable, difficult to understand, highfalutin kind of thing. And so I'm very sympathetic to those people, and I wish that we had a more fair, let's call it what it is, I wish we had a more fair system that allowed people who didn't have the background in planning to be able to engage on par or engage equally with the planning system. That's why a few years ago now I wrote to the then planning minister basically saying that, you know, the example that I used was whenever there's a development application in somebody's community, as a neighbour who wants to have your say on that, you're not an expert, but you know that the proponent has been working with planning staff and hired professional planners, and they have this kind of time advantage and also an information advantage. So there's a real disjunct there between what the community feels like they're allowed to know and what they have time to research, as opposed to, you know, all of us who sit here on the other side of the table who have the benefit of all of those years of looking at the planning scheme and understanding how everything fits in. So I just wanted to reflect on that and say that I hope that the TPC understands that there's an enormous amount of education that needs to take place as well. And I think it's a, you know, this to me illustrates perfectly well why the DAPs were such a bad idea to try and take planning away from local councils and local communities. We as councillors really are trying to act as a conduit between the community and between the people who operate the planning scheme on our behalf. So particularly around whether it's the special area plans, I'm hearing a lot about the Bruny Island special area plans and around environmental protections. People feel like it's complicated and they want more time. And so I sympathise with that, and I'm sorry that this council is unable to deliver those extended timeframes because of the direction by the TPC. But I will say you do have until Monday the 9th of December, so there's a few more days left. And I wanted to emphasise that you don't need to be a planning expert to have your say. And you actually don't need to use big technical jargonistic words in order to be listened to and in order to have your opinions be taken into account. So even if it's as simple as writing, I want this for my community and I'm not getting it, or I want to protect the community from that, even if it's really simple and high level and big picture stuff about what you want to see in terms of planning or what you're worried will happen with the new planning scheme, put it down. Even if it's a kind of back of the envelope, write it down in very simple terms and put it into the council. So I strongly recommend people jump onto the Kingborough Council website. I simply googled incoming Tasmanian planning scheme Kingborough Council. It's the first thing that comes up, Kingborough Council new planning scheme. It'll be the first thing that comes up. And look at that website. You have until Monday the 9th of December. Please put in your submission. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be scientific. It doesn't have to be very long. We just want to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Antoli with a question.
Thank you, Acting Mayor, and thank you to Director of our Environmental and Development and Community. You have such a big title, it's a bit confusing. I know planning is not your thing in terms of expertise, but you're doing a good job. I appreciate Councillor Dean talking about the extension, and he did seek whether...
Councillor Antoli, is this a question?
Yeah, yes it is. And he did seek to get clarity on a date, an extension date for submissions or representations. So and you're probably not comfortable giving that, I'm assuming. No. If a person lodges their representation after the close but you're willing to receive it, will it still go to the TPC so they can be heard?
Ms. Chikuti.
Through you, Mayor. Very good question. I believe yes, but I'll take that on notice, clarify.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. It is disappointing that we've only had 35 representations. That's disappointing in my view, given that we've had 318 people want an extension, and given the passion out there and the population base, what is it, about 45,000 do we have in Kingborough, and that we've had 35 representations, that's a bit of a fizzer for me. People need to really get moving, and they've got a week.
Okay. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Just agreeing with Councillor O'Toole and Councillor Cordova that the key here is for people to get their submissions in. So I guess we're being told here that some people are struggling to understand it. So is our message to them between now and the 9th to make a call to our planning staff to ask questions? Is that the best way to go about it?
Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor, absolutely. Two things, you know, where you can and it will assist, our website has a lot of resources. I suggest that as a starting point. But if that's not something that community members are able, you know, struggle to understand the technical nature at times that are contained in that information, please contact us, email, phone, just come into Chambers or the Civic Centre, and we will either, our staff will either have a chat right there and then or schedule some one-on-one time with our strategic planners, and we'll be able to answer questions and show you how to make a representation, potentially help with articulation of what your issue might be as well.
Councillor Bain.
Great. So just to follow on with that, I guess the takeaway message is to something is better than nothing, so just make sure if you've got an issue, get it down on paper, submit it, so when the time comes you'll have a seat at the table with the TAS Planning Commission.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Councillor Midgley and then Councillor Street.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. And yes, I agree with what's been said and also those sentiments of the people in the community, you know, who care about where they live and want to understand this and provide a say. And so we hear that, yes, you can still have a say and to reach out. But I guess I just wanted to point in regards to the on page 11, the petitioner's statement, where it said, Huon Council secured an extension to the exhibition period due to the complexity of the process for their community. Can I please just get hear from staff in regards a response to that, please?
Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor. That wasn't actually the case. So in the TPC response to the petitioner, that was clarified. So my understanding is that Huon Valley did accept some late submissions, and that was how they managed that situation, which is similar to Kingborough in that we will endeavour to consider them, but within our capacity and resourcing and timeframes, obviously.
Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. And just another statement that was said there in regards to that they've stated that we are already hearing from community members that expert planning consultants are not taking on additional cases. Did we at all go back and find out what that statement meant? That'd be good to know.
Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor, I believe that refers to planning consultants and that this is a busy time of year regardless of an exhibition period, and I understand that consultants may not have been able to take on extra work within the time frame of the exhibition period if they had been requested to assist with a submission.
Thank you. I thought so. And I just had a thought. So I guess as part of this petition, they might have gathered a number of email addresses. I don't know if we could get in touch with the organiser of the petition and relay that information that, you know, there is still time to call. Staff will be available. And I guess, you know, yeah, providing to do something and ask questions if they are very confused.
Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor, we have done that and reiterated all the different ways that the community can contact us and to emphasise the points made any submission is better than no submission, because it will give you a voice through the hearing process.
Councillor Midgley, anything further? Councillor Street.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, I accept all of the points that have been made by my colleagues. I just think that it's worth noting, though, the 60-day exhibition period is not something that we've chosen. It's something that is a creature of the legislation. And in setting the time frame with the TPC for the exhibition, we were, as I recall, very conscious about, or tried to be as conscious as we could, about the time that we did that. There was at one stage a proposal that would have put that 60-day period over part of the holiday period, which we tried desperately to avoid as well. While I accept the points that have been made, and certainly accept the concerns that gave rise to the petition, we did try our best with the timeframes that are required of us to put that period in a time where we thought that it would be most accessible to our ratepayers. The proposal for late representations is a good one. It's as good as we can do. Certainly, if you can't get your submission in, then I join with everyone around the table who's made this comment already. Please do put in a late representation. I have every confidence that when we say that we're going to endeavour to take that information into consideration, that we will do that. And certainly as a councillor, I'll ensure that council generally are held to account on that commitment.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Are there any further questions or contributions? Councillor Antoli, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Just that it's absolutely imperative that the community who are affected get their representation in. We've got 45,000 people. We've had 318 people request through a petition extension. We've had less than 40 representations, and I'm actually bewildered by that. So the message is either not getting out, or it's not an issue, or something is amiss, because they don't all, those, you can't square those circles. So it really is important for us to bang the kettle drum over the next 7 days through the socials. And I want to thank the council for their willingness to even accept representations after the closing, and to try and include them in. I would like Ms. Chikuti to please pass on our collective thanks to the planning team as well on that, and I'm assuming that's also through your own direction as well. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you. Through you, Acting Mayor, just wanted to update. It looks like we've got closer to 80 representations in the system now, so the number is rapidly escalating as we're coming into the end of the period.
That's great. Thank you very much. Great.
Okay, I'm going to put the motion now. There is a recommendation on page 8. It was moved by Councillor Antoli and seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour, please say aye. And against, motion is carried unanimously. Page 22, smoke-free areas engagement outcome. There is a recommendation on page 25. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Bain. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Acting Mayor. Sorry, I feel like my mic is not very loud tonight, and I don't know, is it loud enough on the media? Just thank you. So the purpose of this report is to provide Council with the results of a community engagement on smoke-free areas in Kingborough and recommendations to develop strategic short-term and long-term actions for the management of existing smoke-free areas and the identification and implementation of new smoke-free areas. So we had an engagement and consultation go out during the year. There's a summary of the survey results, and the recommendation is that we have applied for a Healthy Tasmania grant of $5,000, and noting that we'll be requesting another $5,000 in the 24-25 budget to look at reviewing and updating signage and education around council's existing smoke-free areas. So it's a worthwhile thing to support for our health and well-being of the community. Thanks to those community members who had a say and the officers for the report.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I note on page 23 that the motion is dependent on a grant, and we applied for the grant and expected to get it in late November, and today is the 2nd of December, and I wonder if we've actually received that grant. And also, I'm disappointed that if there's so much, while I've got the floor, while there's so much support for this in the community, that a matter of $5,000 grant is possibly going to hold this up. It's just such an important issue. It's life saving, it's health saving, and it's going to cost the community a lot more if we don't have smoke free areas, both in health and amenity. So I just can't understand why we should be designing this whole motion around a grant and why we can't just go ahead with it.
Ms. Eshler, would you like to answer the question about the grant, please?
Through you, Acting Mayor. Testing.
Just bring the microphone nice and close, otherwise Sam will growl at you.
Is that better, Sam? So I guess in regards to the grant, we haven't heard back if we're successful in getting that one yet. So we were advised that it'd be the end of November, but haven't heard anything to date. The grant would be to allow us to upgrade our current signage in our smoke-free areas. So we do have signage in our declared smoke-free areas that has the old just smoking. So this would be to improve that signage and have a relaunch of the messaging to include vaping. We do currently reactively monitor our already declared smoke-free areas. So we've got the Community Hub and the Kingston Park, which are declared smoke-free, and then there's the state-declared smoke-free areas. So if we are, if we do receive a concern from the community, that is something that we would go out and action. This is more trying to move into a more of a proactive space.
Councillor Fox, further...
Well, I guess if we don't receive this grant, what are we going to do? How are we going to move forward?
Ms. Eshler?
Through you, Acting Mayor. So we could still look at our current smoke-free areas in regards to updating the signage, the whole... program in regards to education and relaunching an area would be limited in our current budget and resources.
Councillor Fox.
I guess I feel so strongly about this issue that I think we should put it in our budget for consideration when we have our budget meetings, because I think this is a primary responsibility for our council. Thank you.
Can we note that? That's noted. Councillor Antoli and then Councillor Midgley and then Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Acting Mayor. Look, I'm the son of a Mediterranean male who smoked all of my life, and it's a disgusting, filthy habit, and I'm not for it, and I hate it. I don't smoke and never have. There's nothing worse for a non-smoker than to have secondhand smoke come across their face. So I'm all for the eradication of smoking. I'm also like to be evidence-driven, and only 4.3% of those people that responded to this survey say that they smoke, yet 80% of the people reckon that they're subject to secondhand smoke. So I don't know what these four smokers are doing. Are they just going around, hanging around the outside of shopping malls, polluting the air? Is this... And so I am sympathetic. I would love to see smoking eradicated. My father died from smoke-related stroke, and I am also a stroke survivor, but thankfully not from smoking. But is $10,000 the right spend for 4.3% of our community? I ask that as an open question. And I'm not in favour of pumping money into it from our budget, 10 grand, 5 grand, and for 4.3% for four people. There's more than that, obviously. It's only four people that responded. But I'm just trying to be evidence-based with the money and let... And look at both sides of the story. As much as I hate smoking and wish I could press a button and make it unavailable in Australia, but I can't. So I'd love for that to be discussed and debated as well, please.
Okay, that will also be noted. Did you want a response from anyone, or that was just a statement? Yeah, Ms. Shikuti.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So the grant provides us with an opportunity to progress that without having a large impact or minimising potential impact on our current budget. It will be something that if we don't get the grant, we will think about for the next budget round. However, noting that it will be one of many different priorities in our environmental health services that we will have to weigh up against, you know, which of those initiatives we should be delivering in terms of value and health outcomes for our community.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. That's a good answer. So it sparked a question. Can this money, this grant, this $5,000, if we're fortunate to get it, be used on other things, not just the smoking? I just can't see this. It just seems like a lot of money for a signage upgrade to me. I don't know.
Ms. Eschler.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So the application was specifically for the updated in signage of our current smoke-free areas and relaunch of a media and education program around that.
Councillor Antoli.
That's fine, thank you. I'm ambivalent. I'm a bit conflicted based on the value, given that so few people, wonderful, amen, smoke in our community. At the same time, I note that a positive message, including vaping, is also necessary as well, because it's the young people that are taking that up. And that's a generation we need to protect from their own selves almost.
Thank you. Next, I had Councillor Midgley and then Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. There's something here where we spend $10,000 and I'm just not yet sure exactly why this thing had to be bigger than Ben-Hur. So I'm just looking at an email that I had from the year 2021, in March of 2021, where a former general manager writes to me talking about how I was talking about this the year before, so that takes us back to 2020. And at that time, we were talking about the Kingborough Sports Precinct, particularly, because there was an issue there where one of the sports venues, because of the COVID policies, they had to have their doors open. There were people smoking in front of that thing. So I raised that issue. I said, we should have smoke-free area just in front of that door. Is that okay? And here we are, like half a decade later, haggling over $5,000 or $10,000. I actually agree with Councillor Antoli that I'd like some evidence-based approach here, because I think education is really important. And a big stick saying you can't do this here and you can't do that there for the four people who are clearly pestering the other thousands of Kingborough residents. We can't just run around banning everything, and people are already kind of fed up with council trying to ban everything. And in fact, if you just ban things without having any kind of enforcement capacity, then it's just a meaningless thing. Now, I do note the actual national statistics that smoking, thankfully, has been on a steady decline in Australia for now 10 or 20 years, down from 24% of the population. It's now down to around 11% of the population are still smoking. This thing is happening already. So there should be targeted interventions where we say, okay, outside the sports precinct, when young people are coming out of their sports club, they shouldn't have to breathe, they shouldn't have to walk through a cloud of smoke. So that's the kind of targeted approach that I'm talking about. But spending $10,000 to put up signs that people will then ignore, I feel is a bit interesting. And if the whole problem is that we just need to change our current signs to include vapes, I also scratch my head at that, because whilst a lot of people do say, yes, passive vaping is bad for you, and I used to work for the Heart Foundation, so I'm certainly not advocating for, you know, everybody do whatever they want all the time in other people's faces, but I am saying that according to Cancer Research UK, they say many studies show that vaping is far less harmful than smoking. This is because e-cigarettes don't contain cancer-causing tobacco, yada, yada. I'm not going to litigate this entire debate here, but the idea that we're going to spend $10,000 putting up new signs just to include vaping, when all this was 5 years ago, I asked, can we please do something about the sports precinct? And here we are 5 years later, and the report declares, oh, we're going to go, upon a successful grant, then we'll get around to reviewing and updating and launching signage and education around our existing smoke-free areas, and notes that a further report will be provided to the council prior to the proposed declaration of any new smoke-free areas. So I confidently expect that in the year 2029, we will finally get around to getting a ban for smoking outside that front door, which was the problem in the first place. But as for spending all this money, yeah, I don't know about it. I really don't know. I think smoking rates are steadily declining in Australia, and that's a good thing, and we should do whatever we can to support education and helping people to not smoke. But whether or not we should be putting up signs that people then ignore or signs that we can't enforce anyway, we need to be looking at the big picture here, I think. Thank you.
Further contributions? Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. A couple of things in the report, just a question on. I note that it mentions that Clarence Council have done something similar with good results. Do we have any further information on what they've achieved?
Ms. Eschler.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So Clarence City Council launched Breathe Easy Clarence, and they did a targeted approach. So they relaunched their already declared smoke-free areas, bus malls, around the, is it called the Ninja Stadium now? They had a $10,000 budget for that program. They found that they engaged contractors to go out and do some education around that, and found that it reduced the amount of people smoking in those smoke-free areas. And the Department of Health have come out and said that that was a positive impact for the community.
Councillor Bain.
And second question, so with the, if it was to be $10,000, how much are we talking for raising awareness, and how much for additional compliance activities?
Ms. Eschler.
So we'd be looking at $5,000 to upgrade that signage of our already declared smoke-free areas, and then the additional $5,000 would be looking at potentially engaging a contractor similar to Clarence City Council and what they've done for an educational program and having some media around that. So it's more about educating the smokers that this is a smoke-free area, because that potentially message is not there, it's lost. So it would be more about the education for those areas.
Yeah. Councillor Bain.
So just in summary, I'm definitely supportive of this, and I think my takeaway is that sure, there was four smokers who responded to the survey, but that doesn't mean there's four smokers who are smoking in these areas. There's plenty more in Kimberley who are, and that message needs to be given to them as well, not just the people who respond to the survey. So, yep, I'm all for it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Dean, and then Councillor Cordova with a question.
Thanks, Acting Mayor. Look, thank you for those questions, Councillor Vane, because I was starting to get a little bit bemused about this debate. We're being asked to agree to, I suppose, $5,000. This isn't about reducing the number of smokers in Kingborough. This is about making the community a nicer place to be with the areas that we manage. The current signage is clearly dated, and we needed to refresh it and try and amplify that. And for $5,000, like, seriously, this is, if it's had, we've asked for evidence base, the evidence is there that it's worked over in Clarence to a certain degree. I wholeheartedly support it. And thank staff for the work they've got into it. And I think if it's only spending $5,000, that's a bloody good deal. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Dean. Councillor Cordova with a question.
Thank you. It's actually two questions, please, Acting Mayor. The first is, when we say yes to this motion that's before us, will the Kingborough Sports Precinct then be a smoke-free area?
Ms. Eschler.
After tonight.
So there's parts of the Kingborough Sports Precinct that would be covered under the state-declared smoke-free areas. So we're talking proximity to entry and exit ways, and then sporting grounds where they've got seating. So they're already declared smoke-free areas. So that would be covered in the scope of this. Yeah.
Awesome, thank you. And through your Acting Mayor, my next question was about policy. I'm trying to figure out why, like let's say I was a club manager at one of the 33 sports clubs in the precinct. Isn't it a matter of policy for me as a club manager to say whether or not people smoke outside the front doors or the smoke on the ground? Is that a matter of policy for those club managers, or is it only council that decides where people can and can't smoke?
Ms. Eschler.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So it's the occupier of the land. So if it's council-owned land, then it's council that would declare that as smoke-free.
Great, thank you. And finally, through you, Acting Mayor, why is this decision about how we spend this $5,000 or $10,000, as the case may be, why is this a decision for councillors as opposed to an operational decision that's made within the remit of our directors, our senior management within council?
Who would like to answer that one? CEO, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Stewart.
Sure, thanks. Through you, Acting Mayor, I think the intent of this was to bring back some public engagement that we have done around the smoke-free areas, so to be able to bring that back to inform councillors about this public consultation that we've done, and then there's the corresponding recommendation about what are we going to do with this engagement, so it's showing that sort of forward action that we're taking on the basis of public engagement that's gone out.
Councillor Fox.
Just a question. The comment was made by Councillor Cordover that vapes don't contain harmful substances. I've heard the contrary. I'm aware that a lot of young people, school children, are using vapes, and that at that age to be using them, they do have nicotine in them. They might not smell like nicotine, might not look like nicotine, but I understand they do have harmful substances in them.
Just a quick point of order on mischaracterisation, I think. Just to clear the record, to make it clear that I certainly wasn't saying that vapes are good for you or that they're not bad for you. I was just making a point about the expenditure on signage, so I just want to make the record very clear that I'm not up here advocating that vapes are somehow a safe alternative to smoke or anything like that. I'm not a doctor. That's not my business. So I definitely wasn't making any commentary around vapes being either good or bad for you. In front of me on my computer screen, I can see that where I was quoting was Cancer Research UK, but there's plenty of other studies saying that there are massive health risks.
Point of order.
It's two sides of things.
Yep.
It's not for personal explanation, it's for a point of order, but I think we've concluded in any event.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Cordover, I feel like you've made your case for the point of order. Councillor Fox, I have noted that you've actually already made a contribution, so I was wondering if you have a question.
Yes, the question was, do we intend to have education around vaping?
I think Ms. Eschler has answered that, but would you like to re-answer? Ms. Eschler.
Through you, Acting Mayor, their program would be, would be to relaunch the signage, and with that would become educational to let the community know that smoke-free also means vape-free.
Are there further questions or contributions? Councillor Midgley, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. It was a good debate. It is an important topic, and thank goodness smoking is declining, but sad to see that we have now vapes, which is another strategy. But, yeah, I support this. I didn't want to sort of highlight the low number of engagement. Council does a lot of engagement. We're probably over-engaged the community in many ways. But, you know, we did get a response, and we do have an action towards that. We do need to update our signage. And as part of updating that signage, there will be some community education in regards to that. It will include vaping. So I do support that, because it is outdated and we need to come with the new. And it is great that we can, you know, that we are moving on to more smoke-free areas. And we know, as people have said, it is for the health and well-being of our community, for our generations now and for the future.
Thank you. So I'll put the motion. There is a recommendation up there on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Bain. All those in favour, please say aye. And against, motion is carried unanimously. We're on page 33, Draft Kingborough Integrated Transport Strategy. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Cordova, seconded Councillor Midgley. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much, Acting Mayor. There's a lot of great stuff in the Kingborough Integrated Transport Strategy, and the recommendation here is to approve this draft for community feedback. It's really important that full diversity of the ways that people are mobile around our municipality, and understanding that it's about enhancing our end-of-trip journeys, it's about alternative transports that are passive and active transports, so helping people get out of a single-use vehicle and utilise more efficient and reliable, frequent and reliable public transport, getting cycle lanes, doing all those kinds of things that help us become more healthy, but it's doing so in an integrated way. And it's a more complex area than just fixing the buses or just getting more bike lanes or just filling in the potholes in the roads. And so that is what this draft integrated transport strategy attempts to achieve. It's one of those things where there's been a lot of discussion around this area, but I did want to highlight the key themes here of accessibility, health and safety, improved connectivity for all people, collaborations, systems and the economy. And as we are in Kingborough and ageing, it's pretty interesting reading about the demographics of Kingborough and the fact that we are particularly an ageing population. The population in Kingborough has grown more rapidly than elsewhere in Tasmania, and also we're ageing at a very rapid clip. And what that means is, for a lot of people, a single private use vehicle just isn't a completely viable way. You know, if you're an octogenarian, you may not want to be driving your own vehicle around, so you do want alternatives. So when we do talk about transport and mobility, what we really need to realise is that there is a huge equity issue there to make sure that people who are disadvantaged or who for whatever reason have mobility challenges, that they're able to get around the municipality with just as much accessibility as somebody who does have their own private vehicle and can hop in the car whenever they want to. So I wanted to raise that point. I also wanted to thank staff for all of the work that's gone into it and also the efforts of the various committees that have been involved, the Access Committee and also Cycling Committee as well. And there's a great deal of information in terms of where the integrated transport strategy fits into the larger policy framework of the state government and also the federal funding opportunities available. So I will look forward to other councillors sharing their opinions on it.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. So thanks, Councillor Cordova, for highlighting the key points in this strategy, noting that it is quite a large document and a lot of detail to kind of read through, and I'm sure the people who engage with it will hopefully, you know, probably be passionate in this area or, you know, take it over the Christmas period to read. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess that leads to a couple of questions around the engagement, considering where we are now and the date. What are we looking for in regards to community consultation about this one?
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Acting Mayor. Thanks for the question. So the intent is that this takes the final version, I guess, out to the community to make sure that there isn't anything finally we've missed. It's the broader community with a final opportunity for them to have their say.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. Just wondering dates and timeframes for that, if possible, please.
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Acting Mayor, without David Reeve, who's the engineering director for this, present today. So I believe we'll likely wait into the new year for this, appreciating that it's close to Christmas. There's a lot going on. I suggest we'd be putting this out after Christmas so that people can have a fresh read of it in the new year and come back to us with their final views, if there any, before we bring it to you for final adoption.
Thank you. Reading through the action plan, there is a lot of actions. What is the time frame? I couldn't see 2025 to 2035. What's the sort of time frame for it?
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Acting Mayor. I'd need to take that one on notice because I don't see that immediately in front of me. But I think what this does is it sets a long-term framework for us to be acting towards in terms of, you know, enhancing the integrated transport that we have across the municipal area, making sure that we are working from our perspective, but also with our advocacy to other partners, whether it be state government for the development of transport infrastructure that they do, the service provision through public transport and other types as well. So it provides us that long-term view, but in terms of the absolute time frame on it, I don't believe it's dated, but I'll have to double-check that and come back to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I know that it's going out for consultation, but I guess we probably can't make any changes to it now, but when I read this and I wonder how many years this will say, you know, I know I'm probably not going to achieve everything on that action plan there, but when I look through all the different actions, and there's some excellent ones, and then I look at ones and think, like, how are they measured? I'm just wondering that staff have really scrutinised all of the actions to see if they are applicable to what we can achieve in those 10 years, or is it just something that will sit there as a but can they necessarily be achieved? So I'm thinking that staff, that's gone to staff to really scrutinise those actions, and I'm just checking any thoughts around those. Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, through you, Acting Mayor. Again, good question. Look, I think the intent of these types of plans is to stretch us and to really think about what the what we potentially could achieve within the municipal area. There's always going to be things that other drivers, such as budget, will play into. But unless we've got a framework that we're working towards, we don't have the aspiration of what we could do. I think you know, this isn't the final adoption of this plan, and so, you know, I take your point, and I'll ask the team to have another look at it during the consultation period to understand whether or not there's anything that we may recommend to change in the final adoption when it comes back to council.
Thank you. And just a couple more questions around that. So in regards to, I guess, the measuring of some of the actions. So, for example, the ones around, like, say, school-related, promoting safe walking to school and health and advocacy to school and things like that, sometimes I see that we have these action plans in our strategies and they're over a 10-year period, and we might, say, do that in the first 2 years and it's kind of given a big tick, but yet those sort of things are ongoing. They're kind of something that you can just can't see an action plan. Yes, we've done that, but they're actually something, like I think of the waste strategy, for example, and waste education. It's an ongoing thing that needs to happen, even though it gets, oh, we've done that in the action plan, the strategy. So I guess I'm just hoping that we can kind of look at it in that point of view as well, rather than a whole list of things that we see as really great actions, aspirational, but yet are they more than a tick, and are they embedded in kind of a yearly thing, or do we really have that reality to say, I don't know, it's in the Kingborough Bicycle Plan as well, around, you know, like education with schools and the health and wellbeing and all that kind of thing. Some councils actually have, you know, offices dedicated to active kind of transport wellbeing, but we don't have that kind of resources here. So I guess I'm just looking at these things, with different lenses rather than a... they're all really fantastic. I think there's some really great actions and outcomes in there, but it is that, like, really what can be achieved within that time frame, and what some things that need ongoing kind of action to it versus just like a one-off and a tick. I guess I'd love to, you know, like people to kind of consider it through that lens as well.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Thank you to the council for the document. Can I ask, was this something that council created themselves? Did we engage an external individual or expert to put it together?
Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, through you, Acting Mayor. So this was a document obviously commissioned by council, but it was developed by an external consultancy. So that consultancy has come and workshopped with council and has also done a lot of the engagement alongside council officers with the various community groups mentioned within the report.
Thank you. I recall the workshop. Of course, it was nowhere near as detailed as this document, There are bits and pieces in the document. From my point of view, it probably lacks a map where some of the action plan thinking can be visualised for the individuals. There's stuff here in the action plan about improving Leslie Road and DSG roads. I personally think it lacks a little bit of a visual representation of some of the hot areas, a heat map of the things that we want to do. We don't want it to turn into a master plan, it's not. But I think when you think transportation, travel, you think of geography, you think of topography, you think of maps, and it really would help visualise and concrete, this is my opinion, if something like that could be added to the document before it goes to public consultation. I think it adds a little bit of credibility. Personally, I'm a bit disappointed that wasn't provided by the consultant. I don't know who they are, so I hope they're not offended by that constructive comment. But that was the only thing that I would like to put to the executive leadership team to maybe consider. And I think it would actually enhance the value, because when you read through this, it can be a bit dry. These are not the sort of things that stimulate conversations at the dinner table, but maps do, because they are visual. People remember them, and then we can talk about them, and you get these stimulating conversations that you want the community to be engaged in. And I think it means that the document could actually have better, more impact. So that's my suggestion.
Thank you. Further contributions? Councillor Cordova, would you like to sum up? In that case, I'll put the motion. There is a recommendation there up on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour, please say aye. And against, motion is carried unanimously. We're now on page 87. Council meetings and councillors' workshops, audio recording guidelines policy. There's a recommendation on page 89, and I'm looking for a mover and a seconder.
So moved.
Moved Councillor Cordova, seconded Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Briefly, this is the Council meetings and workshops audio recording policy. We at Council record our audio, and also I'm very pleased that we produce the live-streamed YouTube so that people can follow along with what's happening. The main thing to realise here is that this policy is periodically reviewed and updated where necessary. In this case, the changes really are just changing basically the words General Manager to CEO, which is the new name for the General Manager, and no other amendments to the policy are considered necessary. I do want to point out the risks. This is always like an interesting area, so I'm looking at Clause 8. Basically, there's a risk here that by recording audio, we as councillors and potentially staff are more at risk of civil litigation if we say something that's deemed defamatory or libelous or what have you, because councillors are not, we don't receive the same privilege, parliamentary privilege, as state and federal politicians, for better or for worse. But conversely, on the other side, by having audio, we can prove exactly what we did say and then have that debate about what our intentions were. So I think that's just interesting for the listeners' edification, and the fact that there are listeners is thanks in large part to this policy. So I commend the policy. Very few changes, but thanks to staff for organising.
Thank you. Further contributions, Councillor Dean and then Councillor Antoli.
Just a question. I flagged this with the CEO a while ago, so just a bit of a follow-up question. When you miss a meeting, or for whatever reason you're wanting to go back through a meeting on YouTube, it's great that they're recorded, but these meetings usually go for quite a long time, and trying to pinpoint a certain discussion can take an excruciatingly long time. So I was wondering if the CEO has investigated whether we can just timestamp those 3-4 hour long YouTube videos according to the agenda, so people might be able to find the information a bit quicker.
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So we have had a conversation about that, and clearly it is possible within YouTube to bookmark or timestamp different points through the agenda. It's not something that happens automatically, so it would be an additional process that we would need to go through. It's, I guess, not been seen as the number one priority at the moment for us to undertake that change, but it is one that we are aware of and can look at in our ongoing process improvement.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Acting Mayor, and forgive me if it is somewhere written, this policy applies or does not apply to the audio recordings of closed session.
Mr. Stewart.
So yes, the audio recording covers the closed session, but to be clear, that the accessibility to closed session is only for councillors.
Thank you for the clarification.
Any further contributions? In that case, I'll put the motion. There is a recommendation printed on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour, please say aye. And against, motion is carried unanimously. We're now on page 96, appendices. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Move Councillor Cordova, seconded Councillor Midgley. Councillor Cordova.
I hereby move the appendices, and I have no questions on them.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or comments that they would like to make? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'm not sure if it would be answered, noting that Mr. Reeve is not here. Just in regards to the TAS KWS minutes and things, I'm wondering, because like we note in their minutes, they action things against the waste strategy, how come the, say, the new waste strategy, like the funding to develop that, doesn't come out of KWS budget, considering it's a key part of that role?
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Acting Mayor, I would defer to the Director of Engineering Services if he was here, but seeing he's not, my understanding is the waste strategy is a broader undertaking of Council, and it's Council setting a framework, and if we were providing that budgetary, I guess, obligation on KWS, then that would be Council not delivering our obligations as a local government organisation. Further, I would add, as KWS is a council-owned entity, without the accountants being in the room, it's all still coming out of the broader pot of council, and noting that they are funded in a different way through fees and charges, they do return a small amount to council on an annual basis. So I think it would somewhat net off.
Further questions or contributions? No. Councillor Cordova, would you like to sum up? No, there's a recommendation then up there on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour, please say aye. And against, motion is carried unanimously. Page 98, notices of motion. There were no notices of motion. Still on page 98, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. That in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, application for leave of absence, tender assessment for the Kingston Beach Latham construction works, tender assessment for Pelvarata Road reconstruction, tender for replacement of two medium tip trucks, and the shared procurement contract for energy supply. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Fox, seconded Councillor Bain. All those in favour and against, motion is carried unanimously. In accordance with the Kingra Council meeting's audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. So thank you very much to all of you who've been watching along at home.